Public hearing. No, we moved, yeah, public hearing. And first, Lincoln County Budget Committee has already held 5 public meetings, including the Sletz Area Enhanced Law Enforcement Service District. Around Lincoln County on the budget to receive, the Lincoln County Budget Committee approved the 2017-2018 budget. And that will be presented today. So the procedure will be to open a public hearing, and then I'll receive comments, and I'll ask for public comments, and there'll be a discussion of the board, and then we'll make the motions. This is the procedure. So we'll start with that. I'll open a public hearing on item A, and adopt the 2017-18 budget, making appropriations and tax categories and levy for the Extension Service District. And Janice, will you?
The Extension District budget has not been changed from what the Budget Committee approved. David Hansen and Liz Olson from the district are here to answer any questions you might have, or the public has.
Okay. Is there any questions?
No, we've reviewed it. The Budget Committee has approved it for our adoption, and again, no changes have been made.
Okay, and is there any public comment? Seeing none, and we've conducted the motion, we'll go to a motion.
Already, Mr. Chair, I move to approve the resolution adopting the 2017-18 budget, making appropriations, levying taxes, and categorizing the levy for the Lincoln County Extension Service District as approved by the Lincoln County Budget Committee, and to authorize a property tax levy at the permanent tax rate of 0.0451 or 4.51 cents per thousand, and that these taxes be imposed and categorized for the tax year 2017-18 upon the assessed value on all taxable property within the county in accordance with law as of July 1, 2017. I also move to authorize signing the Certificate of Appropriation of Funds supporting the extension programs.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay, we move down. Okay, we have to close the public hearing. Move down to the second item, the Solid Waste Disposal District budget.
Again.
And I'll have to open the public hearing. I have to go back and read these different papers here. So I'll open the public hearing on the Solid Waste Disposal District.
This budget, too, has remained unchanged from what the Budget Committee approved.
Okay. So we'll ask for public comments on this budget. Seeing none, we'll go to discussion.
Nope. Same situation as the extension budget.
Okay. You just made it in here. We're just doing your budget.
Any questions?
No.
Take a motion.
I'll move to approve the resolution adopting the 2017-18 budget and making appropriations for the Lincoln County Solid Waste Disposal Service District as approved by the Lincoln County Budget Committee.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Have a good day.
Timing is everything, Mark.
I'll close that public hearing and open one on the Transportation Service District budget.
Cinda Bruce is here to answer any questions you have, but this budget, too, is not changed from what the Budget Committee approved.
No questions.
No questions here.
Okay, there's no questions by the board. I open the public hearing. Is there any comments? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the resolution adopting the 2017-18 budget, making appropriations, levying taxes, and categorizing the levy for the Lincoln County Transportation Service District as approved by the Lincoln County Budget Committee, and to authorize a property tax levy at the permanent tax rate of 0.0974 or 9.74 cents per thousand, and that these taxes be imposed and categorized for the tax year 2017-18 upon the assessed value on all taxable property within the county in accordance with law as of July 1st, 2017.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Close that hearing. We'll move down the Animal Service District budget. And I'll open a public hearing on the Animal Service District budget.
The sheriff and Laura Broxling are here to answer questions. This budget also was unchanged from what the budget committee approved.
Commissioners, if I might, just a quick comment. There have been a couple of inquiries about this budget concerning the allocation of the funding between animal control on one side of services and the animal shelter. I just want to make it clear for the record that when we crafted this, there were discussions around how that might best be served in terms of allocating resources there. But very specifically, the county, in adopting the original levy in this particular matter and then in adopting the permanent levy and the establishment of the district, wanted to retain the flexibility for the budget committee and the board to make those decisions on an annual basis to allocate needs. And it was very clear what was presented initially was for both animal control and animal shelter services. It serves both sides of that equation. So the action that you take today, if you adopt this particular budget, is your analysis of what needs to be done to fund those particular services in the upcoming fiscal year.
Okay. Any public comment on this? No public comment? Any discussion?
Again, I think I'd emphasize that this budget was approved by the Budget Committee.
Okay. I'll move to approve the resolution adopting the 2017-18 budget, making appropriations, levying taxes, and categorizing the levy for the Lincoln County Animal Services District as approved by the Lincoln County Budget Committee, and to authorize a property tax levy at the permanent rate of $0.11 or 11 cents per thousand, that these taxes be imposed and categorized for the tax year 2017-18 upon the assessed value of all taxable property within the county in accordance with law as of July 1st, 2017.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Close that hearing. And we'll open a hearing on, this is the fifth hearing of the Sletz Area Enhanced Law Enforcement Service District. And
Sheriff Landers is here if you have any questions regarding that budget, but it too goes unchanged from what the Budget Committee approved.
Mr. Chair, I'd ask a question, Mr. Belmont.
Sure.
Just procedurally, are we okay in adopting the budget before, in a couple of minutes here, we adopt the order forming the district? Or wait a minute.
No, sorry.
That's right. We're doing some other districts.
We have other districts later on.
This one was already formed.
This is already formed.
Okay.
This is in existence.
That's right.
But I'll ask for clarification. This Budget Committee for the Law Enforcement District in Sletz is the Board of Commissioners, because there hasn't been the time or the process to appoint a Budget Committee that consists of representatives from within the Law Enforcement District.
Right.
Maybe you could clarify.
We intend to. You know, this is a new district. This is really the first full budget cycle we've had with this district. We intend to recommend to you next year that the Budget Committee will actually be, this will be the one Budget Committee that will be different than other ones, because the other districts are countywide service districts,
right.
So therefore your Budget Committee members are from that area, from the county, so they serve the entire county. So we are going to work with getting representatives from the tribe and from the city of Sletz on the Budget Committee for next year. And they have actually been very involved in the process of developing the budget. Obviously, we have an arrangement, a contract with the tribe that provides some of the funding for these particular services. And so we will make sure that as we move forward in the next year, we will have a budget committee. It will be a slightly different budget committee that includes representatives from that district area.
And again, simply said, all of the other districts are countywide, and this is not.
Is not, exactly.
Okay. Okay, I'll ask for any public comments on this budget. Seeing none, any further discussion?
No.
No. Okay, motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the resolution adopting the 2017-18 budget, making appropriations, levying taxes, and categorizing the levy for the SLETS Area Enhanced Law Enforcement Service District as approved by the Lincoln County Budget Committee, and to authorize a property tax levy at the permanent tax rate of $1.31 per thousand, and that these taxes be imposed and categorized for the tax year 2017-18 upon the assessed value on all taxable property within the county in accordance with law as of July 1, 2017.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. That hearing is closed, and I'll open the sixth hearing on 2017-18 Lincoln County budget.
Mr. Chair, this budget has changed slightly from what the budget committee approved. But it is in the general fund, and it's a reduction. We adjusted that budget for a reduction in revenue that we expect to receive by a net amount of $590,174. So we've adjusted down some other the other appropriations to match that revenue level.
Okay. Wayne. We've had a discussion about an ordinance enforcement officer. Would you explain where we are
sure.
and how this is going to function?
Yeah, the commissioners have requested that the sheriff and staff look at some additional resources to apply to code enforcement activities. It's something that it's really been done kind of as an adjunct by several departments in the county, and then my office assists when we need to go to court. And we're looking at some I think new ways in which we can make the code enforcement more effective and efficient. And so we're putting together a proposal. We're not quite there yet in terms of the total cost. I've been working with the sheriff in terms of the description of what that code enforcement officer might look like. And what we would do is suggest to you that there's no need to make any changes in the budget at this time. We will come back to you as we pull this thing together, and if we need to make adjustments, there are mechanisms to make adjustments during the course of the fiscal year to address this issue. So we'll continue working on that. We know that's something that you've indicated to us is a priority, so we'll see what we can do to get that going.
So without being specific, would you explain a little bit for what this enforcement officer, the general concept of it?
Well, and it's similar to what we're saying a number of communities in Lincoln County have done to deal with this, and that's that you have a person who's dedicated to enforcing the code. Right now, again, what happens is, for instance, if there's a violation in the planning department or violation like a solid waste complaint, something like that, we have people who have other duties and responsibilities who try to add that to their responsibilities to enforce. This would be a code enforcement, a person who would be situated in the sheriff's office who would actually do the code enforcement working hand in hand with the departments to determine, you know, what laws or local code provisions are being violated, and then work with the affected parties to try and get that resolved. And we think this will be a much more effective process when you've got one, people who do code enforcement or law enforcement coming through the sheriff's office doing that, number one. But number two, having a dedicated person or portion of a person that actually will address these particular issues. And we've got some other ideas about how we might engage the courts. That's been a real difficulty because the courts are extremely busy, and it's hard to put a high priority on our code enforcement activities when you have a number of criminal and other civil kinds of issues that the courts are dealing with. But we think we might have some different mechanisms that we can do to try and make it much more efficient in the process of doing code enforcement.
And I think it's worth noting that our, I guess, expectation or hope is that the code enforcement officer will have a collaborative attitude in that, trying to identify these issues and work with the offenders to find a satisfactory resolution without necessarily immediately issuing a ticket or taking more formal action. But ultimately, the goal is to resolve the issue as positively as possible.
And that's always been our philosophy in the county for code enforcement. We try to get voluntary compliance. We work with property owners when there's issues out there to make sure that they understand what the law requires and how they can best achieve it. The courts are a last resort, and we want to continue that.
Well, Mary, comment that, you know, as the cities go to court enforcement, there are certain types of violations that then people that want to make those violations move to the county. So it's kind of, as one does, then we have to, I think, match suit. But I wanted to really appreciate both the sheriff and Wayne for working on this issue, because it's a very complicated issue and hard to get it right. And we've had several meetings with agencies and people in the county to try to get to a resolution.
Can I bring up one more thing? Because this just actually came up. As you know, I meet regularly with the city managers to talk about issues of countywide concern. And actually, at the last meeting that I had with them, it was interesting that both Walport and Yahats are losing their code enforcement officer. The person who's been doing that for a number of years, is no longer going to be there. So they're sort of scrambling now to see, you know, what they can do for code enforcement. And they just approached, and I did not make any promises, because obviously I have to talk to you and to the sheriff and to others, but they were sort of wondering if there might be an opportunity for maybe more of a little regional approach, allocating and sharing some resources here to do some code enforcement in all the jurisdictions. And I'm just throwing that out. I have had no discussions with anybody about that. It's just something that just came up.
Well, but we've done that.
Possibility.
We've done that in the past, like with planning.
Absolutely.
Cities have contracted for services from our planning office.
So there may be a way to kind of enhance or even expand the services we provide if there's some additional funding that could come from one or more cities in the county too. But we'll explore that and then get you a lot more information before we commit to anything.
And the personality of the officer is very critical in this.
Mm-hmm. Key.
The sheriff's been successful with finding first-class employees over the years, and so I'm sure that he'll be able to find the right person for the job.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could say, I am really pleased that we're moving in this direction. I've dealt with a lot of citizen complaints through the years about problem properties. I know both of you have as well. And these are complicated. Even after we have an enforcement officer on board, I just hope people will understand that, you know, that there's a lot of complexities to these. Mm-hmm. One property in North County was at Rose Lodge, Otis area, recently, that got a lot of complaints from the neighborhood. It turned out one of the problems was the property was in foreclosure,
right.
So there was no legal owner of record. Once the bank completed the foreclosure, they moved pretty quickly to clean up the problem, but, you know, it sometimes surprises people to find out that we can't, for example, go onto a property where people are camped illegally if the property owner doesn't ask for enforcement.
There's a lot of issues with enforcement of codes.
Not quite as easy as it's.
No,
no. At least this will give us a significant new tool.
Back to the budget.
Yes.
And this is something that we talked about getting in this budget, but we want to get it right, so we need more time to work on it.
Right.
So we're back down to public comment on our overall budget. Is there any public comment?
Mr. Chair, if I might, I'd like to ask Sheriff Landers to come forward and just give us a little more detail. I think we understand what's happening, but maybe for those that may be watching the video or in the audience, the loss of about $650,000 in revenue through the rental of those beds. We've done some things to mitigate that, and there's some future opportunities that I think are of interest. So I appreciate just some additional discussion.
Good morning, Commissioners. Curtis Landers, Lincoln County Sheriff. Yeah, we the Benton County contract for jail bed rental has they've canceled it effective July 1, and that will reduce the revenue. And I don't have the official numbers. I'm not sure. $620,000 of revenue
that
we can.
High.
And what that will do is that they were renting 20 beds of jail space from us over the last several years. And it's not as easy as just cutting those jail beds and say, okay, well, we only have, currently we have 161 capacity, we only have 141, and go as usual without that revenue, because the way that facility is designed and how it is operated, if we lose that much revenue, we'll have to close two of the pods in the facility, and we'd reduce it from 161 beds to a 57-bed facility, which, you know, would be very hard to manage to make population within our county. As you've heard me speak before, and Lieutenant Russell before, the we're matrixing inmates, so a lot. Last year was over 600 inmates we matrixed, where we were releasing before their time, and it's a difficult process to pick the right inmate to the best inmate to release back into the community. And so 20 beds for Lincoln County will be welcomed, and I've kind of challenged our staff to how we use those beds, and also I've talked to the judges effectively is going to be important to us too. If we just open the beds up for 20 more beds, I imagine we'll be back in matrixing in just a few months again too. So I appreciate the budget committee and the commissioners support in keeping the funding this year with the number of cuts that we've made to the budget. We were actually in the initial MT meetings, we were going to get a project and security management position within the sheriff's office. That was one of the positions that we took off the table, and that was going to be a very valuable position with our all the camera work that we do and security, courthouse security, this type of thing. That's off, and we'll keep absorbing the duties of that. And I didn't bring my paper with all the reductions. I don't know. Other things, some...
We've reduced some capital items in the general fund. We've also tightened up some employment costs for workers' comp and so forth that we were able to see some savings on. We also reduced our contingency in amount, and we are holding in abeyance a couple of sheriff's department hires so that it will ease the expenditures that will go through this budget for the next year.
So then we're going to work following years of how we can make up these one-time expenditures so that we can still continue to move forward with the jail at 161 beds that we have. So we'll be looking at other options as we move forward from here too over the next year.
So I think in a nutshell, the bad news is we lost the revenue. The good news is we've got 20 more beds.
Yeah, look at it as an opportunity. That's what I'm trying to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate it came to almost a screeching halt that we had to do it so quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been in the back of our minds that we needed those beds for Lincoln County anyhow over the years. We just needed to figure out a way to fund those beds with the loss of the revenue. So now we'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I think the wrinkle is we did know that someday we would lose this contract, but we assumed it would be after Benton County passed the levy to build a new jail, and they've been unsuccessful in that, but they not only canceled the contract with us, but with Yamhill County as well, and went with the Norcore Regional Jail over in Wasco County, isn't it?
Yeah, Wasco County.
And they didn't even give us an opportunity to match the bid that Norcore did. They accepted Norcore.
Yeah, they didn't give us an opportunity. In fact, Yamhill County, who were renting beds from also, actually said they would match it, and they still chose to go with the Norcore facility. So, and the news of this came after our county MT meetings, too.
Right.
And so it was just before, I think, the first budget meeting, and it was proposed then during the entire budget committee at that point. So, I mean, this came very fast to us also.
So can I ask you a question? You're related to this, but... In case something like this ever happens, transportation, you deal with transportation just back and forth in Benton County. We're talking about a much greater distance. Is Have they got a gimmick or something that I'm not aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. We utilize the state's transport system. Basically, Tuesdays and Thursdays, there's a shuttle point that we meet in Salem. We bring, inmates we pick up during the time period for other counties on warrants or going to the state correctional institution. We bring them to Salem, and then other counties come bring our inmates, and we all pick them up there and go. So a lot of times we utilize that. That's only on Tuesdays and Thursdays. A lot of times, between Benton County being so close, they're able to run over and pick up an inmate if they need for court that day. We can just drop off on the door on our way to Salem. And so I'm not sure the logistics, and we all know the weather that can happen in the gorge, too, that they need to get the inmates there. So I really don't want to speak for the sheriff there or the county what they're doing, but I haven't heard what the plan will be.
Okay, it'll be interesting. Maybe we can follow up.
Well, what I heard from one of the Benton commissioners was that it's their understanding that the sheriff plans to use NorCorps for the already sentenced inmates, not people being held pre-trial.
I'd like to make an observation. I think considering the very short notice that we had on the loss of this revenue, I think, Sheriff, you've done a good job in working with the budget officer, Janice, and coming up with a resolution that uses some reserves but also takes advantage of some other cost savings. So appreciate the good work.
Well, I appreciate also Council Belmont and
we're not going to appreciate our attorney.
No, it's not often that I appreciate an attorney, but once in a while, so publicly I will.
I'll you that.
Okay, let's go back to get this budget done here before completely off stuff this time. Okay, is there any other discussion related to the budget?
With the chair's indulgence, make one more observation. I think it's important to note that the budget that we're about to adopt is balanced. It's building reserves, it's adding services, and adding FTE in our general fund. And when you look around the state, there are a lot of counties that aren't able to say that. So I think that's noteworthy. And with that, I'll move to approve the resolution adopting the 2017-18 Lincoln County budget, making appropriations, levying taxes, and categorizing the levy as approved by the Lincoln County Budget Committee with the changes as submitted by the budget officer at this hearing, and to authorize a property tax levy at the permanent rate of $2.8202 per thousand for general operations, and that these taxes be imposed and categorized for the tax year 2017-18 upon the assessed value on all taxable property within the county in accordance with law as of July 1st, 2017.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. That budget is passed. Thank you, Janice. Yeah. It's a great job you've done to put this together. Okay. We've moved to
decision and action.
Decision and action. Excuse me, I need my place here.
It took me a while.
It's a big
okay, first item A is an order forming the Southwest Lincoln County Water People's Utility District.
Commissioners, if I might, this is the follow-up from the results of the May 2017 election and some actions that you need to take related to responsibilities we have. As you may recall, this is the second go-round with a request from folks within the boundaries of the Southwest Lincoln County Water District to convert their district from a water district to a people's utility district. And we've spent a lot of time talking about what that entails, the reasons why they're doing that. This had gone to an election once before and had been defeated. They're allowed to bring this back again. A second time a year later, which they did, and we now have the results of the election. And in this particular case, a majority of the voters, as noted in the order, moved to incorporate as a people's utility district, and this order would accomplish that. I would note a couple of things. I just want to make sure for the record, unfortunately, because you have so many Southwest Lincoln County water, and you have district and people's utility district and water people's utility district, all these things. And the names have gotten a little confusing. I just want to clarify for the record and in this order that the name of the new district will be the Lincoln County Water People's Utility District. That's what they had requested, and that's what the order will do to form the district. That's number one.
I'm sorry, did you say Southwest Lincoln County?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Did I say Southwest Lincoln
County? No, you didn't say Southwest.
You just said Lincoln County. What?
Southwest Lincoln County Water People's Utility District. Oh, okay. That's the correct name.
I just wanted to clarify for the record.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's in the order. The second thing is, in this particular case, there was actually two votes we had to be concerned with. One was the overall vote to create and incorporate the People's Utility District. The second was, though, a portion of the area of the district is located within the city of Walport, and it also required a majority of the people within that area to vote in favor for that area to be included. When they did that, and so I've noted in the order the fact that actually a majority of the people within the Walport portion of the district also voted to be included in the incorporated district. So with that, and this is an odd, you know, the People's Utility District statutes are quite different than other districts within the candidates. That's one of the reasons why they wanted to convert the Southwest Lincoln Water District to this People's Utility District. So in this particular process, what you do is you proclaim and declare the district legally incorporated under the Constitution and laws of the state of Oregon. I've included all that required language in there. We've made sure that everything is included in there. The second thing is that we also have, they stood a number of people to be the first directors of that district. And there is a list of those people and an abstract of the votes from the clerk that has those people recognized as the initial board of directors. The statute provides for their initial terms, and they use very interesting language. I usually just give it to them and say, you need to go talk to the clerk now about when those terms actually expire. We think they expire on January 1, 2019, so they'll have to actually stand for election in the November election of 2018 to get a more permanent board, but that's again covered in the order. And then finally, the last thing to note is that we are not dissolving at this point the Southwest Lincoln County Water District. The two entities will actually remain in existence for a period of time as they transition, because the district will need to transfer all of its assets, liabilities, and responsibilities to the PUD, and that will occur over a course of time. So both entities will actually operate for a period of time while they make this transition, and that's something for them to actually determine what they need to do.
And then will they come back to us at some point to dissolve the water district?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We can make a motion on this one.
All right, Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve this order forming the Southwest Lincoln County Water People's Utility District.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We go down an order forming the Greater Toledo Pool Recreation District.
Commissioners, this was also on the ballot in May. That you initiated a process to create this district, had a resolution signed by the City of Toledo supporting the creation of the district and including the property within the City of Toledo within the boundaries of the district. You may recall this particular district, because it will be a taxing district, and it's a standalone district with its own elected board. But as a taxing district, we went to the Department of Revenue early on in the process to establish the boundaries. That's one of the difficulties, the most difficult things to deal with in these new districts, is getting the Department of Revenue to sign off on the legal description of the boundaries. Luckily, we got pre-approved in that process, which makes this a lot simpler. The district wants to begin collecting money in November, and this will allow them to do that because we'll accomplish the creation of the district before June 30th. In this particular case, again, a majority of the voters approved the formation of the district, and also, as one action, it was required to be voted on as a single action, also establishment of a permanent tax levy of 77 cents per $1,000 of assessed value. And so both of those occurred. And in addition, a group of people also stood for election as the initial district board. And the statute provides actually some language about what terms they serve the initial board it tries to stagger those terms. It's a five-member board. They're at-large members. In fact, we do have, I see in the audience here, a newly elected official of the Toledo or Pool District.
We should acknowledge
Mr. Canyon.
Mr. Roy Canyon.
Yes, he's here. My congratulations or condolences, as the case may be, in your newly elected position. So we do identify those particular, the five top vote getters and the terms they will serve as part of this process. Mm-hmm. The clerk will work with them to get them sworn in and they can begin their business. Other than that, everything is going forward with the boundaries of the district, which again were the equivalent, fairly close to the equivalent of what the Toledo Rural Fire Protection District boundaries were, and including the city of Toledo and the boundaries. So unless there's any other questions, this one's ready for action too.
I'll move for approval of the order forming the Greater Toledo Pool Recreation District.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. I move down to an order dissolving the Coronado Shore Special Road District.
Commissioners, as you may recall, Assistant County Counsel Jerry Herbage has been doing a great job at dealing with a number of the smaller districts we have around the county that have been formed but are no longer active or operating, or at their own request, no longer want to operate. This is one of the districts that falls in that latter category. The Coronado Shores Special Road District has not really been functioning as a district since August of 2015. We were approached by residents of the area saying that they wish to dissolve the district. They want to use their homeowners association to actually cover their the maintenance responsibilities for the roads within their area. They filed a petition with you. The petition had the requisite number of signatures. We began this whole process, put together initiated a dissolution, and came up with a dissolution plan, which you adopted, which said, in an important part, the district no longer has any assets or liabilities, so the plan for dissolution or liquidation simply recognizes that fact, and there's no need to transfer any assets or pay off any debt. This also, the way this was presented to us, required an election by the electors in the district to see if they wanted to dissolve the district. They did so overwhelmingly, and so now is the point we're ready to actually complete the dissolution. I would note, just for the record, that there, because this item was on the May ballot and there was a potential that there could be board members elected if they decided not to dissolve the district, no one actually filed for the position, but there were write-in votes for several people. I think it's just interesting, the quirk there. But, of course, there will be no district board since there's no district going to be after you dissolve it. So we note all those things in this final order.
So I'll take a motion if you'd like to downsize government.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve this order dissolving the Coronado Shores Special Road District.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. So now we're going to initiate procedures of the dissolution of the Windy Bend Special Road District and adopting a financial statement for the district and setting a hearing on the question of dissolving of the district.
This is another one that we're dealing with, some of the small districts that we have inside the county. In this particular case, the district has not filed financial reports with the state of Oregon for 3 years, which triggers then their notification for us that we should look into dissolution. And so we're starting this process right now. This district was formed in 1986 and really has not been active for about 15 years. We did send out a letter to all the property owners asking them if they had any information on any possible assets or liabilities of the district, and we have not received any responses related to that. And so this would be the process we've gone through with a number of districts that you'll actually, we'll do our due diligence to ensure there are no assets or liabilities of the district before we do dissolution. And we do need to set a hearing, and I think the hearing date that we came up with is July 19th, 2017 at 9:30 here in this conference room.
And just for clarity, that will be part of our normal agenda.
That'll be a hearing in your normal agenda.
So, We don't need to make a motion on this.
Well, it's an order. It's an order to initiate the process.
Okay.
I'll move for approval of the order initiating procedures for the dissolution of the Windy Bend Special Road District, adopting a financial statement for the district, and setting a hearing on the question of dissolving the district.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Okay, we're going down to... No discussion or information. All we have is reports.
Yes, Mr. Chair. A couple of things I'd like to mention. The addition to the Newport CSC Head Start building is on time, on budget. It's proceeding rapidly. The roof trusses went up on Monday, I believe, and so that will be ready in plenty of time for the start of school in the fall. It is very nice that I think that the federal government has made it possible for each Head Start site in Lincoln County, Newport, Toledo, and Lincoln City to have one classroom that will be a full-day classroom. There was enough space already in the Lincoln City and Toledo buildings, which were specifically built for Head Start to do this, but people might remember the Newport buildings, an old repurposed ODOT maintenance site, and to do all-day Head Start there, they needed another classroom, so that is going up very quickly. Other thing I want to mention, I was in Salem last Thursday afternoon as the Ways and Means Subcommittee, co-chaired by Senator Betsy Johnson and our own Representative David Gomberg, approved the budget for Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And it was a very tough lift for them, frankly, but we got to the expectation that was presented to the voters last fall with the additional money voted in by voters for Veterans Affairs. The statewide budget for county veteran service officers is doubled, so providing this budget makes it through the rest of the process, it's very likely that in addition to adjusting the budget in the new fiscal year for the code enforcement officer, we'll also be adding another position to our Veterans Service Office. So a very satisfying day and a very moving day for a lot of folks as well.
I'll just point out that I've been reaching out to Senator Roblin to, reconfirm our enthusiasm and support for Senate Bill 867, which is the bill that will create the Maritime Sector Task Force. Certainly there's broad support by the Coastal Caucus, but as you start winding down the legislative process, task forces do require some funding, and just want to assure Senator Roblin that we're very interested in seeing this bill pass. And also, I've had some conversations with AOC, which would be providing staff support to that task force, and I'm hopeful that the county might be able to provide some money to support that staff function, assuming that the task force bill passes. So moving forward on our maritime sector strategies, and just an update on that particular item.
Good to hear. Can I ask a question? I mean, I this is something I've heard, and I imagine you have heard as well, Commissioner Hunt, that because the state is in a position where they can do very little new things because of their budget situation, there's even far greater number of task force bills than usual this year, so sometimes it's hard to cut through the clutter, but the significance of this one to our economy, the potential for creation of good jobs is so great that I'm glad you're continuing to push this.
Well, we don't want to assume anything and just keep our finger on the pulse. Yep.
Well, let's talk about the reality of what's going on in the building.
Yeah,
we have.
And Bill, you're over there. Mm-hmm. I'm over there.
Yep, yep.
The Speaker of the House has decided to not hear budget billings because she's got a net bill or two of hers. Mm-hmm. And so this has all created this backlog in the legislature. It's not moving forward. First, you have no money. And then you've got a Speaker who's from Portland that's backlogging all the rest of the states for things that she sees as important bills in the Portland area. It's a mess.
Yeah.
And when this dam breaks, they're going to have so many days to get out of there. and the longer she waits, the less the public process is going to be. It's just going to be boom. And if your bill is not have a really strong support by a major player inside that little group that makes those decisions, it's dead.
Exactly. Today is June 21st, and it's something by the Constitution. They have to be out by July 10th at the latest. No ifs, ands, or buts.
They can come back for special session.
Right.
Thing also, I didn't have a chance to read the article, but I believe today's Oregonian, that one of the headlines is the transportation package may be in jeopardy of not passing.
So that would be a shame.
I've said all along, yeah. Transportation package is probably the toughest bill to pass in time. The whole process that I've watched in the 20 some years I've been involved.
Lots going on.
Okay, well, that's the excitement. Is there any public comment that'd like to be made with 5 minutes on any subject you'd like to talk about? I'm getting a nod of the head of the only person in the room that isn't an employee of ours. So, with that, I'll adjourn the meeting. And the next meeting is refresh me.
Next meeting is Wednesday, June 28th, 9:30 a.m. right here in the Board of Commissioners, room 108 in Newport, Oregon.
That meeting's adjourned.